Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
Today's program was brought to you by Visible Inc., a free-of-charge writing program for cancer patients at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. For more information, visit mskcc.org/visibleinc.
Hi, this is Celia Cutcher, host of Animal Instinct, and you are listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
This is Cynthia Cherish Malloran, Reverend DJ Cherish the Love, and you are listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Before I forget, let me tell you how to reach out to me and get my attention on social media, Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook at DJ Cherish the Love, and that's love spelled L-U-V, and hashtag using Primary Food, Heritage_Radio, and hashtag RevLove. Welcome to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Okay, so what exactly is primary food? I learned this really great concept in nutrition school at IIN, the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, that the food you eat, you know, the stuff we put in our mouths and chew and enjoy, we consider that secondary food. Primary food is everything else in life that nourishes us before we sit down and eat. And that's stuff like enjoying music, creating music, reading a book, hanging out with friends, doing a radio show, cooking food, having a great job, creative expression, playing games, crafts, exercise. All of this is primary food. And you'll notice that the better quality primary food you have in your life, the better quality secondary food you have, and it's just kind of the way it goes. And I'm so glad I learned this concept because it was the high quality primary food that I kept in my life while going through chemotherapy last year that kept me happy and healing my cancer. So today I have a very special guest on, Carrie Behan.
Hi, everybody.
I think we need to scoot you over here for people.
Okay.
If you're listening live on heritageradionetwork.org, we are also Facebook Live broadcasting this episode for the first time, and definitely not the last. So if there are any kinks or, you know, weird glitches or stuff like that, we'll iron it out. This is just like our like first run. Yay! We got approval. So Primary Food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. So help keep Heritage Radio Network and my show and everyone else's show alive by becoming a member today. Go to heritageradionetwork.org and click on the little beating heart to donate. Do it now. I'll know you did it. I will totally reach out to you and I will totally remember that. We'll all know it. You'll help keep our lights on. You'll help keep these mics going. And Pierre, our engineer today, you know, he'll get a paycheck. So we need you. So Carrie Behan.
Hi.
What's up, girl?
Oh, God. I'm so happy to be here.
Should I move this camera? Who is saying hello from... Okay. We have people from... all sorts. This is, oh my God. Facebook Live is
this
the deal. Wow.
Hi, everybody.
Okay, so today, our episode, we're going to be talking about gin, dads, and the making of music. Somehow there is a connection, and a really beautiful connection at that in today's episode. Carrie has brought her dad with us. Let us bring him into the camera.
Let's bring him into the camera. This
and,
is my,
for
this
those
is my
listening,
father.
For those listening, Carrie's holding a bottle of gin.
And it's a very special gin. It's the last in existence, and it's distilled on an island in New Zealand by my father, who passed away a couple of years ago. And it's a phenomenal gin. He was quite famous for it, but there's no more left. So Cynthia and I are going to polish it off.
There's just about two little slurps left, and we're going to honor Carrie's father in today's episode with the gin, the beautiful legendary gin that he made.
He actually collected the herbs, some of the herbs and spices off the island. He used island water. And then there's certain elements that you have to acquire, like white sugar and juniper berries. But he actually had this recipe that literally has this taste, strange and gorgeous taste of the island. It was phenomenal. It was quite...
Let's answer some questions on people's minds. They're asking, what island?
It's called Kawau, K-A-W-A-U. It's on the North Island, on the east coast of the North Island. You get to it by boat.
North Island of?
New Zealand. There's no roads, no cars, no shops, one squinty little yacht club store. It's relatively remote, and in the wintertime it's very empty. And my father lived there for the last 10 years of his life year-round, which was really interesting.
It's such a beautiful thing to be influenced by food and drink and create music around that. We're going to talk about Carrie is releasing or just released her new album on iTunes. It's called Alazon
in the Quiet Room.
The Quiet Room, A-L-A-Z-O-N, in the Quiet Room. And we previewed a single last week called Ass in the Middle. Some of you might remember. Some of you here are... on from last week. Okay, so Ass in the Middle is from this album, Alazon in the Quiet Room. We're going to sample some of the tracks from it today and talk about the genesis of music making. And I see some of my music friends. Oh, I see mostly my music friends on this. This is great. So today's episode is about how, you know, what inspires your music creation? What food things? What drink things? You know, sometimes a lot of people drink and then they make great music. Some people eat.
Yes, absolutely.
Why is that?
Sometimes you just can get to that center a little faster with a drink. And I know many musicians that when they're composing or while they're composing or just as they're about to let something go out, they have a glass of red wine or a shot of whiskey. It's not unusual.
Being food radio.
Mm-hmm, it just accesses something.
It accesses it really, something.
It just accesses something.
Maybe do you think it relaxes something?
No, I think in some cases it permits you to access something that maybe you're a little bit pent up about. Allowing to come to melody and lyric, and not for everybody. Some people use yoga, meditation, going for a run, whatever you need to let it out.
Well, Luana DeAngelis, who's actually going to be a guest host in a future episode in a couple of weeks, she thought your dad's ashes were in the bottle. So, folks who are listening and not getting the visual.
Okay, no,
there are no ashes in the bottle of gin.
There are a couple, barely to it, 1 1/4
Luana,
inches.
You're hysterical.
1 1/4 inches of this gorgeous liquid. That's all that's left, actually, in the world.
And, in the world, in her family.
Yeah, the recipe is there, but, he's gone, and it's a whole different story if you want to produce it or manufacture it on a commercial level. We kept his family distillery. It was a very small one, but he definitely fed the island with very good gin.
It's incredible. Let me read the label on this bottle of gin. It says, so for those who can see it on Facebook Live, no ashes, thankfully.
Promise.
She promises. For those listening, the label of this beautiful bottle of gin with just about an inch or so left of Carrie's family gin, Kawau Celtic Classic Premier Gin. Kawau Celtic Classic Premier Gin, distilled with love from the finest forest waters and botanicals of the New Zealand island of Kawau. In no other place on earth does the majesty of nature blend together the therapeutic qualities of kiwi, weka, wallaby, possum, wild feline, and bush rodent. What am I reading? Into a unique evapotranspiration and healing elixir, 10,000 proof. This is incredible.
He was. He really was.
Tell us about your dad.
He was an artist in the last 10 years of his life. He'd always wanted to be an artist. He was very talented as a child, but you know, in his period in time, it was important to get married, have children, and support them and send them to school. So he had to choose a lifestyle that was going to support my mother. And he became a manufacturer. He went around the world as a young guy on ships, you know, fishing ships and boats. And then he came back, grabbed my mother, who was younger, and married her, and then started manufacturing various things. Rainwear, snowwear, skiwear, surfwear. He ended up working with O'Neill in America and had a franchise in New Zealand for 20 years to make O'Neill wetsuits.
Oh, that's very interesting.
So there was lots of rubber in our house. And when he retired, he moved to the island and carved. And he carved from tree roots and logs and roots that had washed in on the shore. And his carvings are exquisite. Some of them rather large, and they tell stories, and he would also carve, you know, like a thread within it so that you could understand if it was related to an old Irish myth or if it was a current story. He'd always give you a little hint about what it was underneath. He'd burn it in, he'd etch it in. And he carved and distilled booze, and he would have dinner parties. He would literally open up his property and he would make the placemats. He would design the menus.
Everybody, your dad would do this. Your dad was the Martha Stewart
dad
of
was
your
80,
family.
Dad was 83.
And he did these.
Yeah, and
parties.
Then he would have like 27 people. All the locals from the island would come in on their old rowboats and their dinghies.
That's incredible.
And sit around and have these like five courses of whatever they could put together on the island. And that's not always that much, but he made these sumptuous feasts, and he was really quite famous for it.
Your dad fed the neighborhood. That's so beautiful. How did he make gin?
Well, the process has white sugar, powdered white sugar, and chemicals, I have to admit. And it's a process of pouring it off through these distilleries. And then he would grind. I actually filmed him. I've got it all on film. But he would grind his juniper berries. And he would grind the feces and the weka and the wallaby and the possum poo and all the other things. He would grind them with a hand pot. And then slowly strain this through cheesecloth through these different time periods with the gin, because it would sit in the wardrobe in different vessels for certain periods of time, and then that one could come out and it could be distilled and poured through cheesecloths, and then the herbs could be added, and then that one would go back for another, you know, 3 days, and that one for 3 weeks. It was a whole science. And if you disturbed him, you were allowed to film him, but you did not disturb him when he was in his
wow.
science of gin making. Yeah, it was, you know, oh my
isn't
god,
isn't that just like making music?
Very much like making music.
It's like,
yeah.
Do not disturb. You can film me, but do not disturb me.
And he was very used to that. He was very used to me making music. Whenever I came to visit him from the States, I'd lug some gear with me and be sitting in a room with headphones going, don't talk to me, I'm writing a song. So he was used to it. So we were very compatible, two complete geeks together, very happy.
When did your father pass away?
He passed away January of 2014, and by about February or March, I found myself lying on the apartment floor of my studio apartment in Manhattan and looking at my gorgeous keyboard that I just got not that long ago, and my gear and all my recording equipment, and looking at it, and I basically said to myself, Ben, if you don't get up off this floor and write another album, you are never going to write another album again. The grief and that stop sign was so prevalent. And I literally, you know, dribbling and crawling, I got off the floor and sort of pulled the dust cover off everything and turned the computers on and grabbed the mic. And after that, I demoed an entire album in 6 weeks.
Is this where this new album came from?
Yes, this came from there. And luckily I was on my way to a residency in a gorgeous historical town in Arizona called Bisbee in the mountains. So I was able to take my demo and live with it for a while and put butcher paper up on the walls of the studio and draw the whole song line and map it all out and then come back. And it's taken about a year and a half.
You've taken the profundity of losing a parent and turned it into an album.
He actually would have killed me if I... He would have killed me if I hadn't have done that. Yeah, he was.
Wow.
He was so behind my art. I paint as well. I'm a multimedia artist, and he's always been such an enormous supporter of my work.
This, again, is just more evidence, I guess you can say, of my understanding of how music heals, how music is so necessary. It is my main form of feeding myself and nutrition as a DJ and just a person who loves music in every way. I say that we should honor your dad. Have a little bit left of this. I'm sure we're not going to top it off.
Let's do this.
Oh, she's going to pour it.
I'm going to pour. Can you hold
the glasses? Folks, we're listening.
And we're not drinking on air. And by the way, we are using... Where is that camera? Cherish the Love
My coasters.
All right? You only do this with a Cherish the Love, DJ Cherish the Love coaster under your gin.
Okay, so we're going to have Carrie's father's gin. The last bits.
The last bits. Hold on a minute. I better do this like that. Sorry.
Yeah. Those who are listening, you can hear the gluck, gluck.
Have you got that one?
I've got it in my hands.
All right, here comes this.
And here we go.
I'd just like to add at this point the song Chandelier in a Rowboat that we're going to play you. My father's life actually turned out to be extremely difficult. He went belly up 3 times. We lost several houses. He died in poverty and never was able to turn off the manufacturing machines and have a break. So this makes this all the more poignant that he created beauty amongst a lot of hardship.
For those who are listening live, you're about to toast to Carrie's father, his name?
Michael John Behan.
And for those watching on Facebook Live, you're going to see us down this last bit of Michael John Behan's famous...
Elixir.
Healing gin elixir.
Okay, Papa. This is
to Papa. Clink. That's smooth and beautiful. We have thumbs and hearts. Thank you for joining us and watching this moment live.
Thank you.
This is really important. I think it's really important to honor those who have joined our ancestors, those we love, and those who we create new things with, creating music, and to talk about. Let's talk about the process. So... Wow, that's a really nice drink.
It's really good, right? It's so smooth.
I'm talking and I'm I'm creating a very gin-smelled microphone foam cover. So whoever is broadcasting after me,
sorry.
Lucky you. No, not sorry. You're lucky. You might get drunk smelling it. So let's talk about the creative process here, and then we'll listen to your first track, Chandelier in a Rowboat. What is that about?
Chandelier in the Rowboat was actually the last track recorded on the album, and it's a little bit different from the others because the most of the album is relatively down-tempo and melancholic and very, very, let's just say it opens up every possible part of me and extends it to you. There's just nothing held back. It's the most personal and introspective thing I've ever, ever done. Chandelier in a Rowboat is in homage to my father. It's his story. And it's a little rougher. It's a little more upbeat. It's a little more, listen, this was no easy life. It actually has been really hard. And I want you to hear his story because at the end of it, he still came out shining. And the last time I spoke with him, the very last thing he said to me was, my dear, no tears.
Mm.
And put your chandelier in a rowboat and push off to sea. It speaks for itself, but it was the advice I was given. So
the last thing he said to you
was, my dear, no tears.
If you are watching Facebook Live, you can listen to us debut, Chandelier in a Rowboat by going to heritageradionetwork.org right now, because I don't think you'll get the feed through the Facebook Live video because we're going through the mixer board and everything. So, oh, hey, Jack Inslee says miss you. Oh, we miss you, Jack. So, log into heritageradionetwork.org right now. And in about a minute, I'm going to play Chandelier in a Rowboat. So Chandelier in a Rowboat, again, let's talk about some of the lyrics because they're about to hear it.
It came about, I was in Bisbee. It was between New Year's Eve and Christmas Day, and I had this amazing cabin, this kind of cowboy cabin. Someone had left me to write a song in during that period of time, and so I'm in this tiny little town right by the Mexican border with these incredible mountains, and it just gave me this amazing sense of freedom to actually write down our history, our family history, all the some of the issues with it and how I'd come to be at this in this place with my chandelier, my prized possession at that point being my dog and my guitar. And I'd take my rowboat and come over to the mountains near the Mexican border in Arizona. And the lyrics, they're angry, they're frustrated, they're expressive, but they still bring you to a place where you know someone did it. They did it their way. And for that, I'm so grateful. And he's given me the strength and the power to take my chandelier in a rowboat and come to a foreign place. I've been wandering the world for 4 decades, 5 countries. So,
tell us where you've been through.
I have lived in London in the UK. I've lived in Australia. I've spent most of my adult life living in Berlin, Germany. And I've been 16 years here in New York.
As a professional musician?
Prior to being a musician, I was a news and cultural programming video editor for German television.
So for those of you out there who are into being a professional musician, you can type in questions or just, you know, pop in and say hello and we can answer. You know, what Carrie's journey has been like is unique, but it's also very familiar to those of us in music, isn't it?
Yes, very.
I find a similarity in the creation of food and drink with making music.
Absolutely.
The process.
Yeah.
So what is your process in making, in creating? Do you always have to experience some kind of grief or some kind of painful thing or...
In my case, it's a trigger. Usually, you know, I don't plan these things. Suddenly I'll be like, oh my God, I'm so pissed off. Or, oh my God, this is amazing. And oh, it just comes out. And me, it has to come out. It's like, get it out.
Those of you who are watching on Facebook Live or listening in, you know, I'd love to know what your influences are, your food and drink influences that help you create, no matter what your, whatever your medium is, whether it's music, sculpture. I'd love to know. I'm so curious because here's a great place where I can actually ask like people around the world, what do you guys do? So again, if you are a creative person and food and drink helps inform your creativity and your output, tell us how it works. Tell us what your process is. I'd love to know more. So we had someone saying, Shola. Hey, Shola. She says challenges present unique creativity opportunities.
Oh, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. They really do. Yeah,
most definitely.
None of this would have happened to me if I hadn't been challenged from a very young age onwards. I was a runaway, and then I was, you know, I left my own country at 17 years old with a backpack on my back. So I know all about challenges.
I think probably the connection is like just emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, music, they say often, music is what emotion sounds like.
But generally, I'm not hungry when I create. I'm just not hungry. And then when I've got it done, when it's finished, I'm like, oh my God, I have to eat. I have to eat. But during the process, I can forget to eat.
Forget to eat.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
easily.
I'll eat what you forget. We're going to listen to...
Chandelier in a Rowboat. Put your chandelier in a rowboat.
Put your chandelier in a rowboat.
And push off to sea.
By Carrie Behan. The first... track on this album?
No, it's actually the last, but it's the biggest single.
It's
our
the biggest single.
Yeah. It has a trailer.
Save
as well.
The best for last.
Okay.
So if you're just tuning in now, go to heritageradionetwork.org on Facebook Live if you want to hear this song, because you won't hear it through Facebook Live. So go to the browser, heritageradionetwork.org. Chandelier in a Rowboat.
Yeah.
That was Chandelier in a Rowboat from Carrie Bean's new album, Alizon in the Quiet Room, available now on iTunes. Please go and purchase it or pre-order it if it might not be available in this very second. Ooh, there's the next one. Now, for those who are watching on Facebook Live, as I said, this is the first time we're doing this, so thank you for telling me that the signs I'm holding up are mirrored and you guys can't read it.
It was things like, what state are you from?
Those of you on Facebook Live, what state are you from? Let us know. We just are so curious about how this works. And those of you who are listening in, you know, thank you for being here and listening every week to Heritage Radio Network and Primary Food. We like to talk about food and creativity food and how we feed ourselves with it and how we feed the world with what we create.
I made a cookie.
Carrie happens to also make food. Diana from New York. Hey, Nona. So tell us about some of the food that you eat.
Well, I made DJ Cherish the Love. I made her some cookies. They're ground, organic, raw pecan and almond and cashew with black molasses, some coconut oil and some coconut sugar. And it's baked in the oven with a tiny bit of baking soda for only 15 minutes. And in this case, it has some organic prunes and organic figs chopped into it and some chocolates, some little baby pieces of chocolate. And they're absolutely delicious. And I bought the jar to present.
Good heavens. My God. Listening to that, was that not like, those of you listening on the radio, was that not like she was flirting with us?
I do like, I like making things.
She was just like hitting on me with food. Thank you. I will eat it off air, I promise. What does it feel like to put together this album, to have it come out now? What's the experience like? Carrie's album has been receiving critical acclaim in the best way. In a
ridiculous way. The reviews that have come out over the last 2 weeks, I keep just having to sit down and go and catch my breath because I feel so incredibly honored and blessed. I haven't put a full album.
You got thumbs ups.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. Since 2007, and it was very different. It was kind of funky and up-tempo, and a lot of my European electronic stuff, because I come from a whole European electronic album background. I had an album with BMG Universal back in the late 90s and all that blather. So this one, you know, 7 years after the fact, and so quiet. You could hear a pin drop and my extremely light, very, very light voice, which obviously wasn't on that last track, but it's on all the rest of them. And putting this together, going through lyrics that I'd had for years, or memories or dreams or apocalyptic states that I had never been able to actually get down, everything came up. Everything comes up when you lose someone that you really, really love. It all just comes out, and you have to do something with it. It's like literally you're emptying out the fridge and you've got all these things to use. Nothing's expired, but you've got to use it, and you've got to be creative how you do it. And I had the most amazing musicians participate with me who just, you know, they enhance the recipe. They literally come in, hear what I've written, hear what I've done, often ask if they can overplay my guitar because I'm not the best guitarist in the world. And sometimes I don't let them, and sometimes I
do. How rude.
Add to my very basic piano skills, but they often leave them in, which is always a great joy and delight for me. Leave my synths alone and do not touch my horns and rhythm section. But I had some of the most amazing musicians come in and add to the recipe, bring in their skills, and in some case rearrange. And my producer basically is Robert L. Smith from DeFi Recordings, who has worked with David Bowie, Aretha Franklin. He's worked with Chaka Khan. He's been 30 years in the business. He started off, you know, like as a busboy in the Hit Factory and Sound Factory. And this guy's worked with everyone. And you sit with this man and he's producing your album. And he comes from a place, too, of liking something that's a little odd, lots of room around it. And he turns your vocals into gold. It's just been a
Again,
a
I see
experience.
A connection between the making of music and the making of food. You said recipe.
Mm-hmm.
What is... Talk about that.
Well, you have your ingredients. You know, I can write a good song, and I can easily get down melody, and I can get this thing out. It's all in me. I can hear the tones, I can hear the harmonies, I can hear everything, but I can't play everything. So I'll play it out on my keyboard with my synths, or with computer sounds, or with my guitars. But when you ask other people who are probably better at putting the icing sugar on top than you are, they can do the florets a little better, or someone else that just knows how to add that extra liqueur to the jam in the middle of the cream that's going to taste better than yours, you let them in, because all they're going to do is enhance your music. And this communal effort pays off over and over and over. And, you know, I come from an era where it was all incredibly competitive, and you were totally like, yeah, I'm supporting your gig, supporting mine, not, because you were just, it was so threatening. And we live in a time now where it's all about how can I help you.
Exactly.
So you let people in, let too many cooks into the kitchen. It doesn't spoil the broth.
Oh, I like that. I like that. We're going to take a quick break. A little word from our sponsor.
She wants to drink more gin, actually.
I'm going to drink a little more gin, and I'm going to give Facebook Live a little tour of the space. And we'll be back.
Okay.
Music for this commercial break is brought to you by RecTech. And this track is called Dues Paid.
Cancer diagnosis can leave you feeling anxious, depressed, and vulnerable. Visible Inc., a writing program at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, offers patients the chance to work on a writing project of their choice, with individual support from an experienced writing mentor. Our goal is to reduce stress and give voice to your story, poem, blog, or memoir. Visible Inc. publishes an annual anthology of works by participants and stages a live performance of selected writing featuring Broadway entertainers. The program is free of charge to Memorial Sloan Kettering patients and is fully supported through grants and donations. If you're a Memorial Sloan Kettering patient, a potential volunteer, mentor, or someone who would like to support Visible Inc., please visit our website at mskcc.org/visibleinc.
And we're back with Carrie Bean. It's me, Cynthia Cherish-Malloran, Primary Food. And we're talking with Carrie about her new album. And it's already like 6:41. I don't know, time always goes so fast on this show. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. We have like 3 minutes left, basically. If there are any, let's see, any comments online. Hello, hello, reverse. Yeah, I know, we need to reverse the signs. So we're learning. Those of you who are listening via the radio, yeah, we're trying to just figure out how to do a good presentation via Facebook Live and do this show this way on air and Facebook Live from now on, because we've got some big stuff coming and some really interesting guests coming. So, Carrie, album out.
Yes.
What do you do with it?
I have a show called Alizone in the Quiet Room, Part 1 Displaced, which I've performed in Berlin and on Governor's Island in New York and in Arizona, and that will be my next project, is to get that into a New York theatre. And the trailer for my album is going to be released tonight.
And where can people check out the trailer,
everything's
the album?
Everything's on my website, carriebehan.com. Behan is B-E-E-H-A-N. Carrie is C-A-R-R-I-E. So carriebehan, B-E-E-H-A-N.com. The trailer will go up later on this evening. We PR have not let us release it yet, so it goes up tonight. And you can get everything. Everything's on my website. We're coming out through Cargo Records in the UK and London. And our label is in Williamsburg. It's called BNS Sessions. But I can link out to everything. So you'll find everything you need on my website.
Just a few words of, you know, what the critics have been saying about your album. Oh. And who.
Okay.
Don't be shy.
Okay.
This is a moment. You need to own it.
Audio Fuzz, Ground Sounds, Impulse Magazine, The Edge. Today we had Surviving the Golden Age, and I'm being compared to, that song was being compared to Lena Del Rey and Tom Waits, and then they're talking about my Massive Attack approach with all the electronic stuff, and then they're talking about my theatrical and performance art with the quiet, more theatrical pieces, and it's been exclusive to 2 or 3 of the reviews, and it's just, it's getting the rave, and it's coming out tomorrow.
If you're not convinced yet, I'm going to tell you, please just go and get the album. Check it out. It's wonderful. You know the story behind it. You know, Dad had a piece of it. And it tasted very good making it. So,
thank you so much for having me. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you, Heritage Radio. Thank you, Pierre.
Thank you, everyone who's been here on the Facebook Live experiment. And those of you who are listening and listen every week, I'm so happy that you're here. And I guess that's the end of this show. You've been listening to Primary Food on Heritage Radio Network. Again, Primary Food is produced by Heritage Radio Network, a nonprofit, member-supported radio station devoted to all things food. Help keep Heritage Radio Network alive by becoming a member today. Go to Heritage Radio Network and click on the beating heart to donate. Do it now, and I will love you forever.
Me too.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola El Waley, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.